the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
Now it is Saturday the 25th of June 2016 and we are just one day away from a final 16 performance against France. On the phone with me right now is crack fan Derek to talk about not only that, but Ireland's historic win against Italy. Hello, Derek. How are you?
Hi, Anthony. Very good. Very good.
How are you feeling one day ahead of a massive game against France?
Yeah, I'm just really looking forward to it. I'm still buzzing. I think like most of the Irish nation, still buzzing after the last match. I think I've watched the goal about 30 times. Whenever it pops up on Facebook or anything, it's getting a rerun. It's still bringing a smile to my face. So yeah, I'm still living off that feeling.
Yeah, let's talk about that game. It was quite an impressive game by Ireland. Possession-wise, 47% possession. Goal attempts, they had more on goal than Italy did. What did you think of the actual attacking performance of Ireland on the night?
It was just unbelievable. I thought the whole thing from the very start, it was such a change from the last game. It was such high intensity from the Irish team. And it was just a clear attempt to actually play the ball and put it down. I think it showed a lot of people that we can actually do that and do it quite successfully, you know, as we got there in the end. But yeah, it was just great to see. You know, he made lots of changes, very brave by him, but it all paid off. And putting somebody up there beside Shane Long was vital for us to kind of get higher up the pitch. And Darren Murphy came in and did an absolutely brilliant job. Fantastic holding up, winning so much in the air. And, you know, there's just heroes all over the pitch the other day. It was just such a turnaround, such a change in approach from the last game. And, yeah, you got to give Martin O'Neill a lot of credit as well, because he made, you know, lots of changes to the personnel. People were raising their eyebrows at that one, wondering, you know, will this pay off? This is a gamble too far at this stage of the tournament. But, you know, hats off to him. It absolutely paid off. Unbelievable performances all over the pitch.
I suppose, as you said, one of the criticisms in the Belgian game was that, you know, Ireland played a lot of long ball, kind of a bit aimless. But with this game, the Italian game, they played a lot of ball on the floor and they kept it quite well, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was great to see, you know, because we did have a big man up there. You know, you wouldn't have given out if they'd said, oh, we'll stick to that tactic because we've got someone up there now. But it was just more a change in play, more of a variety in the approach as well. And the midfield showed that they can do that. You know, they can be trusted with the ball at their feet and they can play these balls. They can keep possession. And that surprised a lot of people, I think, as well. Might even surprise themselves. But, you know, it showed that we tried that approach in the Sweden game and we tried it now again in this Italy game, and it's got to be what we go with from now on. Not be afraid of who we're up against and just kind of trust in our own ability, really, because that's where we're getting, you know, the best results from. It seems to suit the players as well. You know, that they seem happiest playing that and more confident on the ball. When you start hoofing it, it kind of leads to a feeling of panic around the team and everyone just wants to get rid of the ball as quickly as possible. But if you start off on the right track, playing the ball, everyone gets on the ball, gets some time on the ball, confidence grows, and then that kind of, you can kind of change your whole performance then and your whole outlook on the match, because you're getting control of the ball, you're having confidence there, it's growing, you feel you can do something, instead of if you're always looking up for that long ball, it kind of feeds panic into the team. I've got to get rid of this, I've got to get it up to that man up top as soon as possible. So it's, you know, it's what we've got to go with from now on, and it proved quite successful the other night. So hopefully we can push forward with that kind of attack and approach.
Yeah, and talking about the goal then, and I suppose the attitude of the Irish on the night, it was pretty much to the last minute. Robbie Brady scoring the goal on the 86th minute of the game. What did you make of that goal? It was quite a great header, really, wasn't it?
It was brilliant, and just what had come before as well. You know, it was looking like it was going to be one of those heroic Irish defeats, you know, and just missing out. It looked like we're going to just go scrape a draw out of it and then, you know, go home heroes for such a valiant effort. But yeah, it was looking like that. We started off such high intensity and it was almost starting to fade a small bit because people were getting tired. And then Houlihan came on and I think everyone just had that miss when he was just through on goal. I think it was a a mistake by one of the Italian centre halves. We just got possession. Everyone was shocked, thought the referee was going to blow the whistle, I think, including Houlihan. And he just had too much time in his hands. And it was more of a gentle pass back to the keeper. And we thought, I definitely thought that that was it. But before we knew it then, it was back up again. An unbelievable cross he's whipped in, you know, to switch it around. He must have been so gutted himself and still thinking about that miss just a few minutes before. But the swing in, a perfect ball. And it was actually Brady who started off the move around the edge of his own box and made the, you know, just kept on running. Brilliant run into the box and perfect ball on top of his head. And he couldn't really miss, really. The Italian keeper made it nice and easy for him, came running out. There was an open goal, but it was just absolute. You could see in the stadium what it meant to everyone. Absolute pandemonium, you know, just clutching the victory from the depths of defeat there. And it was just unbelievable, the passion from everyone, the players. And I think you've seen some photos probably with Robbie Brady going straight over to his family afterwards. And that's where he went to celebrate after the goal, straight in front of them. So it was magical at that stage. Yeah, really unbelievable.
Yeah, definitely one of those moments that will go down in kind of Irish footballing history.
Absolutely. All right.
As you said, Houlihan came on, kind of missed a bit of a sitter, really. But yeah, you know, that attitude of kind of keep on going, kind of clearing the mind and keep going, and he passed the ball to Brady. Now, there was a lot of decisions in the game. We can't really avoid this conversation, but a lot of decisions in the game that went against Ireland. And again, it kind of shows their character that they kept on going, kept on playing. But the James McLean penalty call, what did you make of that?
Oh, yeah, that was another unbelievable moment. Yeah, it was just all building up to seeming like it was just going to be another heroic defeat, wasn't it? Because everything seemed to be going against us. We had that, that penalty decision was, I don't think I've seen a clearer penalty in the competition so far. And, you know, you can't really fault the referee. You can't say that the referee couldn't see it or anything like that. He was about, I think, 4 feet away. The Italian defender straight through the back of James McLean. And, you know, it was just so obvious to everyone. And at that stage, you're thinking, you know, is this going to be our day? He's not going to give that. What is he going to give? You know, it seemed like everything was against us at that stage. And then you had some of those fouls in the box where it was showing replays where every cross that went in, there was a Italian defender who got an Irish player in a headlock or... you know, swinging an elbow in his face in the case of Shane Long once again. It just seemed like it was all building up to, you know, a disaster towards the end of the match. And I thought we'd be heading home, but yeah, we somehow pulled it round. But it seems like we're not going to get a penalty in this competition. I heard some of the players wondering afterwards in the interviews, what do they have to do? I think James McLean said something about it was GBH on him in the box.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're building up to one of those and we're going to get it and it's going to prove vital. Maybe let's have it tomorrow on Sunday. Yeah.
Well, you know, if we look at it kind of, you know, over the course of the years, again, France, we played them back in 2010. And that handball happened, the hand of God, as they say. Refereeing in football, is it becoming a profession that is a joke, we'll say? Because obviously the technology is there to avoid these things. You know, if you went to a doctor, we'll say, and you had a broken arm and he refused to do an X-ray,
yes,
you'd kind of, you know, you'd be kind of thinking, this guy can't do his job, you know, and no one is there to tell him off. You kind of worry about those things. So is refereeing becoming a bit of a joke, do you think?
It's just that I think that the main point that's always put across is just the lack of consistency in it, really. And the Italians, you know, I think they're famous for doing that kind of stuff in the box. They've been doing it for years, you know. No big, apart from the James McLean one, but no, it's all to do with those kind of, you know, tugging the shirt. And with stuff like that in the box, it needs a decision from, you know, the referees to say, right, we're cutting this out. When one or two decisions, you know, giving fouls for those will cut that out. So we'll just need some, you know, need some to all come together and decide on that. But yeah, when somebody misses such a clear penalty like the James McLean one, it does get you. It's just so frustrating for everyone involved. And, you know, it tends to be, if those happen, it just tends to be, what you know, one of the bigger teams who's getting off lightly. So there's a hint of that as well, where you're thinking, oh, especially in these international competitions, they want these bigger countries to stay in, these kind of powerhouse countries who are, you know, who've always won it before. So there is a hint of that. That's always coming into people's minds as well, where they're not going to give anything to the minnows, you know, if they can do without it. So, yeah, it's hard to. I don't think it's a refereeing epidemic as a whole. I think it's just these sort of inconsistencies. There's always kind of these rash decisions that come up now and again that get everyone talking and raising the debate on refereeing again. But I think in certain parts of the competition, I think they've actually let a lot go, which has actually helped the games. I think I know at the beginning there's a few big challenges from Irish players as well. I know Seamus Coleman in the first minute maybe kind of set the tone for the Irish with a fairly strong tackle that could have been yellow carded. So on one hand, they are letting a lot of things go, which is kind of helping the flow of the game. But yeah, it's these incidents in the penalty box which are kind of proving crucial and really getting people's back up. And as for that fourth official who stands behind the goal and never really does anything, that's another thing that really gets blood boiling, because they're often a few metres away, but seemed very reluctant to call anything, to make any big calls in these games. So something like that as well needs to change. You know, I think we need one of those fourth officials behind the goal to actually make a crucial call, to maybe show the others that this is what they're there for. You know, they need to get involved in the game and they need to make decisions. Because at the moment, they're standing there like an extra post, to be honest. not much use to anyone.
And do you think inconsistent refereeing, as you call it, should it be punished though by FIFA or UEFA, or is it one of those?
Yeah, it's hard to, the clearly wrong decisions do get punished, and people, you know, referees get taken off big games, or maybe, I know in the Premiership you might end up in the Championship for a while, something like that. But yeah, it's difficult. You know, it's a very difficult job, as you can imagine. And it's great that we have the benefits of of replays and everything like that. So, you know, mistakes can be accepted, but yeah, it's just hard to take some of those such a really clear, like that penalty the other night where the referee was just right behind. I haven't heard him come out and say what he thought he saw, but yeah, that would be interesting to know, because from where he was standing, and we had a great angle from the camera just behind him where you could see him to the side looking straight through to the players, and it just looks so clear. You could see McLean was winding up to face up to goal, and then he just straight through the back of him, big elbow in the back, and then his whole body came through. I know there was some contact with the ball, but that was clearly after McLean had been shoved from behind. So just don't know what his thinking was there, really. But yeah, there's always going to be these mistakes, but I think in the whole, I think refereeing has got better, and you know, the goal line technology has helped those issues don't happen anymore. But you're always going to have some mind-boggling decisions, and yeah, and throughout time, and obviously Ireland seemed to be on the end of a few, so we're probably feeling hard done by them on that side of things.
Now, Keane has said this week in kind of press conferences that, you know, obviously the last game against France, a bit of unfinished business there perhaps, but he's not going out for revenge, apparently. How do you think Ireland are going to approach this game against France? Because it is a massive game. France are one of the favourites of the tournament.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was mentioned to some of the players and they weren't entertaining talk of that at all. I don't know if that's come from Roy Keane, who kind of famously said, get over it, isn't it? In an interview he was doing. But yeah, they seem to be just, you know, forgetting about that, not letting that affect them. But I think they have to just approach it just as they did the last game. I think Martin O'Neill's got some big decisions to make about his team as well. So, you know, he made four changes the last day. If I was him, I would stick to those. It worked out brilliantly. And I thought someone like Houlihan was just great coming off the bench as well to add some kind of creativity in the last 20 minutes, because he often looks a bit light maybe at times, but then, you know, you can't take away from his creative side. So I thought, you know, I think that might be the best option for Ireland if we keep him to make an impact in the last 20 minutes. And then, you know, at the back, I don't think he can take those two out, can he? Duffy and Keogh, they're absolutely colossal at the back, you know, winning headers, just not giving their forwards any time on the ball at all. And after kind of some of the, you know, mistakes we've seen earlier from the defence, I don't think he can get rid of those. So I'd love to see him stick to the same team and just keep that momentum going. You saw the team spirit from the whole squad didn't look like anyone was anyone had gotten a bit of a mood or gotten a grump because they were left on the bench. They did all seem to be working together as a unit and understanding that, you know, it's a squad game. So yeah, I'd hope he'd stay with that and, you know, go with the same tactics, that high intensity right from the beginning. Again, this French team is full of superstars. It's going to be a huge task, but you know, if we can put in anything like we did the other night, you know, we could be in for a special night again. I think we're all dreaming at this stage because we were not expecting anything the other night, and it's just raised optimism beyond all normal levels. So we live in hope, but yeah, I'm hoping he's not going to change anything tactics wise and go at them again. That would be great to see.
And so looking at the odds here this morning, France 23-50, and Ireland 9-1. Have France, or what about France has impressed you so far in the tournament?
They've struggled again. Again, it's a bit like Belgium, you know, a team of superstars who at times again have struggled to put it together as a team. So he made changes after the first game and dropped some of his big stars like Pogba and Payet, and then, you know, they've left it late in a lot of games as well, and they've put it down to, you know, Payet has been the player of the tournament so far, and he's really got them through it. You know, they've had some lackluster performances, but have kind of just struggled through at the end, and they've come off looking quite good because in the last 10 minutes of games, they've turned it around and teams have tired. So, you know, they haven't been totally impressive, but, you know, they've scored some great goals. They've got some amazing individuals in there. And, you know, some of the values of these players they're talking about, you know, talking about Pogba going for maybe 70 or 80 million. I'm sure that could probably buy the whole of the Irish team twice, possibly. So, you know, there's the kind of difference in quality of player. But, you know, what we've shown and what they've shown as well is that they're not really flowing as a unit yet, I don't think, either. I'm not sure if Deschamps knows his best team. He's been chopping and changing, bringing in and out some of his stars, and they've just pulled it together at the end of matches. So, you know, we've got that. We seem to have that unbelievable togetherness and that team spirit that can bring us through games and get us results. So it's going to be, yeah, one of those games where we've got individual stars against kind of the immovable force of a well-oiled unit.
Yeah, well, here's hoping, because, you know, if we manage to do the near impossible, there's a possible quarter-final game against England.
Yeah.
And that would
absolutely
be certainly a magical moment, because you'd have to fancy their chances against England, to be honest, wouldn't you?
Yes, well, again, you know, so many teams are kind of struggling a bit to get their best form in this tournament, and England are another one. They're falling behind in the shadow of, even though they beat Wales. I think Wales have come off after their last performance. You know, England could only struggle a draw with Russia. Wales gave them a hammering, so they're as well looking to prove something. But yeah, I think everyone would be in dreamland. I know after the last match, I think there was a surge in people getting on their laptop seeing how they can get to France, how they can get to Lyon for the game on Sunday. I think that would be twofold if England were the rivals. But it would just be, yeah, it'd be absolute dreamland. And, you know, who'd bet against us at that stage? You can imagine the passion in the players, the fans, everything would be just pushing towards an England victory. But yes, that's, I think we'd be a bit presumptuous to start dreaming. We have one or two games ahead of ourselves. But that's, yeah, that is the optimism. I think we're all dreaming now, you know, looking at finals, everything. Anything could happen after that last performance. And that's kind of the magic of the Irish team. We've gone from total kind of bewilderment after the last one to absolute optimism. Almost thinking we've got a divine right to be in the next round. You know, it's going that way.
Yeah. Well, here's hoping, Derek, here is hoping that on Monday we will be talking about probably one of the biggest victories of all time in Irish football.
in world sport.
Yeah. One of the biggest turn-ups ever. Yeah, so hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll go well. And yeah, enjoy the game tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait for it.
From the heart of Brighton, a taste of home.
Here we go, man. Tonight we gonna rap for free. You know that tonight, man, we grapple these with Anthony. How you doing right now? First of all, speak words. First thing we get from the radio reverbs.
Brighton's weekly Irish radio show. What's the Crack? With Anthony Martin on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM. See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.